Hello, my friends. This is Paul Drockton. Welcome to True Religion Radio, where we get down to the basic principles taught by Jesus Christ. So let's talk now today about the debt that God owes you. Well, let's just call this your spiritual or your eternal bank account. Your eternal bank account. So you have a mortal bank account, right? That you put money into it. But what happens to that when you die? It disappears, right? So a lot of individuals, when they truly convert to Christianity, they begin to try to fill up their eternal bank account, right? Through their good works. In other words, you know, they do all kinds of good things. They're service oriented. They want to help people as much as they can, right? And they're thinking to themselves, you know, I'm building up a pretty good retirement. After this life is over, I'm going to have all this stuff waiting for me, right? That I can collect on. Wrong. Let me explain it to you. When you do something good, I don't care what it is, right? How do you feel? You feel good. Why do people give their money to these different illicit activities? To feel good, right? So guess what? You've already been rewarded. God's already rewarded you for your good deed. So guess what he owes you? Nothing. Now, there's other individuals, right, who think to themselves that basically they can go ahead and they can do 10 good deeds and that offsets the one bad deed, right? In other words, yeah, I gamble, but you know what? I do all these other good things and, you know, obviously the Lord's still in my debt. Wrong. Again, you're always in his debt. Because I want you to think about this. What do you have that doesn't belong to God? Whose money is it? It belongs to him. Whose earth is it? It belongs to him. Whose food are you eating? It belongs to him. Whose air are you breathing? It belongs to him. Whose water do you drink? Oh yeah, that belongs to him. Everything you touch, everything you do, everything or every place you go belongs to him. It's all his. So if you go over to your neighbor and you pick flowers out of his garden, you knock on his front door and say, hey, I brought you a gift. Right? Is he going to thank you for it? No, of course not. They were his in the first place. Giving something back to someone, right, that they already owned, it doesn't give you any reward. It's simply, basically, just human decency when you think about it. And we get that as long as we're dealing with people that we can see, right? But because we don't see God, we don't see Jesus Christ physically, right? We forget about him. But the truth of the matter is he owns everything. So what does he owe you? Nothing. He owes you nothing. And it was the Apostle Paul that taught that basically all men have gone astray. Also Isaiah taught the same principle. All we like sheep have gone astray, everyone to his own way. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquities of us all. So Jesus Christ, when he suffered in the Garden of Gethsemane, he literally became intimately acquainted. He received all your thoughts, all your emotions, all your feelings of guilt, doubt, fear, right? All that goes with it. All the mental torture you experienced, well, multiply that times billions of people. He experienced all of it. So how could he do such a thing? Well, because he was God. And if you read the scriptures, it says that he was conceived through the power of the Holy Ghost. Divine. God. He explained, I lay my life down and I can take it up again. Can you do that? I can't. He could because he's God. He commands and the elements obey. So my point is that he suffered for all your mental suffering, all your mental anguish, all your emotional anguish. And then he suffered on the cross all the physical pain that you and I could potentially suffer, right? He had everything laid on him, not just for me and you, but for the entire world, all men. Now, some individuals believe that Jesus Christ just died for the elect? But the answer to that is no, he didn't. Because without the atonement of Jesus Christ, all mankind would be lost, eternally lost. And we know that according to the psalmist, David, who not only committed adultery with Bathsheba, but also killed her husband, and I quote, "Thou shalt not leave my soul in hell." David knew he was going to hell, but he knew he wasn't going to stay there. He knew he was going to be redeemed from hell. Now, that doesn't mean that he gets to go live in the kingdom of God. He'll live in the lesser kingdom, but it means that he is not going to remain in hell because of the atonement of Jesus Christ. So he'll pay whatever penalty is required for his sins. Murder is one of those things where you're going to have to definitely suffer in hell. But at the end of the day, he knows that he will be redeemed from hell through the power of Jesus Christ. So no, Jesus Christ died for all men. And the reality is that for those of us that repent, that come to him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and that agree to be baptized for remission of our sins, right, by immersion, and then take upon us the name of Christ, and literally endure to the end, being humble, right, being patient, being loving. Those of us that learn not to rely on the arm of the flesh, right, not to rely on our own strength, and not to rely on our whatever we think we have, because we realize God can take it all away in a second. And really, it's through his strength and through his blessings and through his grace that we get another day in mortality. It's through his grace that we prevail in this life. And it isn't through your own strength. It's because God permits it, through his grace. So as the Apostle Paul states, it's by grace we are saved, after all we can do. And so, my friends, how much do you think you have in that eternal bank account right now? Well, if you said negative balance, you're right. But you can wipe that out. Just go to the Savior, repent of your sins, go to him with a broken heart, a contrite spirit, nothing, don't feign anything. Be humble, be meek, and you can have all that debt wiped out, forgiven. He's ready to forgive all your debts, all of them. And in the end, he will redeem almost all of mankind, with the exception of those few that are sons of perdition, that have no good in them, have no light in them, have no truth in them. And you and I very rarely will see one of these people, even though they're out there. Judas, of course, is a good example. So is Cain. There's no way to redeem them because there's nothing there to save. They're just pure evil. But the rest of mankind, there's always something good. Just look around you. Everybody around you has some good in them. I don't care who they are, for the most part, with the exception of very, 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 very few. So my point is, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Right? So that through him, all mankind may be saved. This is Paul Drockton. God bless my friends, and remember, it's not about getting credits that get you into heaven, because you and I are never going to get there. It's simply about having the slate wiped clean, having your sins forgiven, and then basically submitting to the will of God. And even then, you're still going to be an unprofitable servant. He's never going to owe you anything, never. And if you keep that in mind, then you'll find it's going to be a lot easier for you to stay on the right course. He doesn't owe you anything. And we owe him everything. So we're the debtors. He's the creditor. And he can decide when to call the debt due. But I promise you, as long as you make the effort, you forgive those debts. And you can go with the eternities debt-free. And that is as good as it gets. This is Paul Drockton. God bless. Have a great day.